Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Major Jaren. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I'm doing wonderful today. Well, no, horrible. It's been the week from hell. Horrible week.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I had to put my cat to sleep. My other cat's in the hospital. Very different reasons, but he's in the hospital. You know, I don't sleep much anymore.
Sure.
That's a thing, you know. And I got a Fitbit. I mean, that's a positive, right?
Sure.
So, Paul, this is my first, like one of these, like, fitness bands. It's the first one I've ever owned.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like it. It's small. It's tiny. I got tiny little wrists. Look at this. I can't have, like, a...
You have China doll wrists.
I have China doll.
Those are not man's wrists.
I have tiny little wrists. Do you have a Fitbit?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I use the Microsoft band, but I do have a Fitbit HR or Surge HR or something.
That's what I was going to get, but it was too big.
Yeah.
Like on you, it's the same size as this, you know?
Right.
Your arms are like two of mine combined, but.
Well, yeah.
It's like I have an iPad on my wrist when I have that thing on.
Sure.
So I just got this. So that's fun. that's the only positive in my week this week. But a lot is happening. A lot of rumors coming out. iPhone 7 rumors, Samsung Galaxy S7 rumors. It is interesting that the Galaxy stuff leaked, right?
Yeah.
Because of Mobile World Congress. And the iPhone stuff all of a sudden popped up. You know, like some rumors are coming up. It's interesting how that happens.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid a leak, you know, comes out and your leak hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
So let's talk about this because we talk about the camera stuff. We talk about all that stuff. By the way, you were supposed to be traveling this week.
Last week.
Okay.
Yep. Well, through Monday.
Yeah. So this is interesting, the story, and I wanted to get your opinion on this on the Apple side. You know, there's like 5,000 Apple insiders out there, and they're saying that it's going to have dual cameras. And I know that you are, much like me, really into the camera of the phone. Some people don't care, which is shocking to me, that a lot of people really don't care at how good or how bad that camera is on their phone. They rarely use it. They don't really take pictures. They just want their phone to work. I give those guys a lot of credit because for me, I lose my mind when these camera phones are not good.
I do too. Although, I, you know, it's funny. Someone wrote me this morning and asked me for some advice about phones, and I was kind of thinking about it. Cameras are very important to me, but the truth is, in my day-to-day life, the quality of the camera is not usually a big deal. It's a big deal if I'm out in the world and I want to take some photos. Obviously, it's a big deal if I'm on vacation, but I put a lot of emphasis on that. I think some people don't.
You know? Yeah. No, for me, it's a make or break, really, when I'm buying a phone. I've really toughed it out with these Android phones for a while because they really weren't at the level of the iPhone. I mean, they really, for the longest time, they were playing catch up, and Apple was winning by leaps and bounds, but, they seem to have got it really right with the Samsung Galaxy S6. They really did a great job with that phone, with the camera.
With the camera. Absolutely.
With the camera. Yeah.
Yes.
Arguably, it's even better than the regular iPhone 6, which makes some sense.
Multiple places have tested the cameras and come to that conclusion.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you seen what it compares to when it comes to the Plus?
I think it's across the board. The basic camera is the same from 6S to 6S Plus, except for the optical image stabilization, which I've never seen a huge advantage of on iPhone for whatever reason. And then as far as the Samsung thing goes, I think the camera quality from maybe the Note 4, the S6, the S6 Plus, is that a thing?
S6, S6 Plus, yeah.
The Edge, all that. I think those cameras are all right up there.
It
may be as good as they could be.
Very good cameras. So Apple really has to, and they're known for their cameras. The rumor is that it's going to be a dual camera setup.
Yeah, we're talking about the iPhone now.
We're talking about the iPhone, yeah. The next generation, the iPhone 7. It's going to be a dual camera setup.
Okay.
And this is probably not going to be available on the standard iPhone 7. This is going to be probably on the Plus version only, which is going to be a 5.5-inch version of the iPhone, similar to what we have now. But it's going to pretty much be two cameras, and it'll feature optical image stabilization, OIS, and a wide field of view. So pretty much what this thing does, from what I understand, it stitches two pictures.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of like hardware HDR.
It's hardware HDR, know, yeah.
Or something, I, you know.
And here was the interesting thing. So in all these articles, you know, they're talking about this, you know, and how this is a step forward. They did buy that company Lynx a while ago. Mm-hmm. That that has software that innovates the software. It's a software innovation that works in this capacity where you take two cameras and two cameras set up. Do you think this is true? I think this makes a lot of sense that they're going to do this.
Do I think the iPhone 7 is going to have two cameras?
Yeah.
I think it's going to. Okay. I don't know. I mean, so, I mean, first of all, the pictures you've seen where they, you know, Photoshop two camera circles in the back. That's not what it's going to look
that,
like.
That is not what it is.
It's two sensors in a single unit.
In a single unit, yeah.
Kind of like a dual core processor, but for a camera,
well,
maybe.
HTC did this a couple of years ago with the HTC One.
Yes, and to terrible results, by the way. But yes, they did. That's true.
Yeah, because I think what they did, they did it, and then but they dropped it down to like 12 megapixels or 8, whatever it was, 8 megapixels, whatever they had dropped it to.
Sure. But they were doing like oversampling on the pixels or something. Yeah. Like, yeah, so look, Apple has, not for the entire time of the iPhone, but I don't remember when it started, iPhone 3G, 3GS, something. For a long time now, they've had really good cameras on the, you know, for a phone, and they've done it right. I mean, and as they've kind of moved forward, I mean, they moved slowly in certain areas. You know, they didn't, took them 3 years to sort of bump up the megapixel count, et cetera, et cetera. But they've done a really good job. They've done a good job with that. And so, if this is true, I think Apple retaining their, or regaining, I guess, in this case, their lead in cameras is something that's very important to them because they like to advertise that. They always have the pictures were taken with an iPhone or, you know, the most, if you look at Flickr, you know, the biggest camera by far on there is an iPhone.
It's an iPhone, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I think they really enjoy that part of it. This used to be the thing we used to brag about on the Nokia side with Lumia. So it's plausible. I obviously, I don't know anything about the veracity of these kind of rumors. I don't know anything about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes with Apple, but yeah, I mean, it falls within the range of the type of thing Apple would be looking at to improve the iPhone 7. Yeah.
I was shocked. One of my friends, she still has an iPhone 4S and she took a picture and she sent it to me. I'm like, what did you use to take that picture? He goes, an iPhone 4S. I'm like, wow, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, for a 3-4-year-old phone at this point. Well, how many years ago did the D4S come? 4S, 5, 5S, 6, 6S. Yeah. 4 years ago. I mean, that's crazy. It's unbelievable to me.
I'd have to look this up. I can't remember. I told you, you know, there were a couple of Januaries in a row where we had visited Paris because of low airfares or something, several years ago now. And on one of those two, I just took whatever the iPhone was I had at the time. It was a 3G or 3GS. And, of course, it was dark and dreary in Paris in January, as you might imagine. And the pictures are abysmal. I mean, they're terrible. They're the worst pictures I've ever taken on a trip ever. And it was one of those things where I was like, I wonder if I can get away with this. It's just a long weekend. Who cares? You know, we'd been to this place before. We're going to come again. It's okay if they're terrible. And they were terrible. And they come up sometimes, like I'll see them every once in a while. And when you look at them, it's like, oh man, those are really bad. But it's amazing how things have changed since then. And probably, I don't really, like I said, I don't remember which phone it was exactly where this all changed, but certainly the 4 series, the 5 series, 6 now. Great cameras. They're really good cameras.
So on the Samsung side, this was fascinating to me. So the Samsung S7, which there are leaked specs already, because that's what happens when you have an event, you know, all this information starts coming up. They're going to have two versions, S7, 5.1-inch display, like the S6, and a S7 Edge, which will be a 5.5-inch display. Both models are going to be equipped with a 12-megapixel camera, down from the 16.
Yeah, the theory being that they want to keep it flush.
Yeah, they want to keep it flush because right now, I don't know if you guys could see it here. Actually, I could actually pop this out and show you. Sorry for people listening. I know most people are listening and not watching.
As I break
this.
The back of this lobster I'm about to eat.
So, I don't know if you could see this. It comes out though, right? You see that?
Yep.
It's not flat. You can actually see
the
that.
iPhone does the same thing, iPhone by the way. It's a smaller circle. But
so, they want to have it plush, but instead of higher megapixels, they're going to focus on sensor size and performance. And people are saying, I mean, it's going to have very impressive aperture. I don't know if you saw what it is.
I'm looking at the website that is called iGalaxyS7.com, so I know everything about this.
I think, what is it, an F1.7?
Actually, doesn't say.
Yeah, I think it's a 1.7. Yeah, along with autofocus capabilities that are similar to a Canon DSLR. I don't know how true that statement could possibly be. Do you think that's a reality, that it could come close to a DSLR?
No.
I mean, I know that the DSLR days, and I'm going to get a lot of crap for this, but they are starting to wind down, right? Like, you could get a phenomenal photo with a mirrorless, you know, one of those mirrorless cameras now that Sony's making and everybody's making.
Yeah.
That really come close to what you can with a DSLR, with a big, giant DSLR. These are way better than, I mean, point-and-shoot, why would you get a point-and-shoot at this point, right? There's no reason to. So a lot of that is changing, but it seems like cameras is what's the focus this time around.
So, I mean, first of all, I think as far as phones go, cameras still have a long way to go in some ways, right? You can on that phone, I can on the iPhone, different phones, you get different options, but you can get these lenses that kind of clip onto the outside, they extend the capabilities of the camera. And like those things could stick out like an inch or more, you know? Yeah. And they're still pretty big. And they really don't do a lot to improve the experience. I mean, you basically get something like 2x optical zoom, a wider field, you know, like a wide angle view.
Yeah.
The typical two, a macro lens, which, you know, is of usefulness to about three people. You know, entertaining, but not something most people ever need. So I do sort of feel like, you know, there's still like plenty of headroom for this stuff. And without knowing, again, like whether any of this stuff is real or imagined, I look at both the iPhone 7 rumors and the stuff you see for the S7 now, and it's like, this is plausible. You know, this is the type of thing I think makes sense for 2016, you know?
I'm just here's the interesting thing here, right? The quality has doubled and tripled over the last couple of years. I mean, it's remarkable, but we get it for the iPhone, we get it for the Samsung S7, but how about like the secondary and third quality phones on the market? You know, like, happening there? It's still crap. Like, you really don't have too many options. It's either this, or nothing.
Well, I mean, if you're an iPhone person, you're all set because they don't sell anything older than an iPhone 5C. And those cameras are all pretty good, you know, 5 series, 6 series, whatever. On the Galaxy side, I mean, I don't follow that as closely. I'm not sure what, you know, Samsung does exactly. Like, if you buy a second tier Samsung phone, what's that like? I don't know. I do know on the Lumia side, you know, the 950, 950 XL, excellent cameras. 550, an older phone like a 640, 640 XL, even though they're excellent phones, or, you know, at least very good phones, cameras are garbage. I mean, they're just garbage.
On which one? The 950, 950 XL?
No, the 550, the 640, 640 XL.
Yeah.
And the thing that's to kind of a shame about that is if you go back a year ago on the Windows Phone side, to the mid-level phones they were putting out at the time, the 830, the 7, I just forgot the number, not the 720, I just lost that.
Chat room?
I don't remember. I don't remember the model number. Wow, that's crazy. The 7 something, whatever the heck it was.
It wasn't a 730, 740?
It doesn't seem right to me for some reason. 830 and 720 doesn't seem right. 735. 735, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, 830, 730. Thank you. Jeez, I really just lost that in my brain. Anyway, and I have one right behind me. You might be able to see it. It's green. Those phones have kind of, I think, you know, 830 was, I think was, let me not say because I don't remember the details, but they weren't full-blown, you know, PureView cameras at all. But both of those cameras are surprisingly good. I have incredible photos that I've taken with both of them. In fact, I've used some of them on my site as promotional graphics. This is an incredible picture I took during Christmas that year in Faneuil Hall in Boston with the 730 or 735, whatever it was. Beautiful. It's a beautiful photo. You know, but the mid-level stuff today, the low-end stuff today doesn't have that. That's too bad.
Do you know what the this is going back to a question that I know nobody knows the answer to, but when it comes to the future of the Windows Phone line, right, the Lumia line, with the impending rumor that this Surface phone exists, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say it does. Let's hypothetically say this phone exists, it's coming out, yep, and at the end of the year, and that's the flagship phone. Does the Lumia line become the secondary line? You know, where you have your Surface phone, that's the main one, and then the Lumia line becomes what the 735 and the 830 are, you know, in terms of secondary devices.
I don't know.
I mean, does Who that make say? Sense for that to happen? Or do you think there's still some sort of pull with the Lumia name where it could be a flagship device?
Yes, let me give you two options. So one would be if we take Microsoft at their word, what they said last year about their plans to, you know, the markets that they would attack with Windows Phone, and that that doesn't change this coming year, which, by the way, it could. There were three, right? Enthusiast market, business users, both of whom I think would be served just fine by a Surface phone. But then there was the other one, and that was like the low-cost emerging market kind of thing. That's not Surface. Surface is a premium product line, premium materials, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So if Microsoft is serious about continuing that strategy, they're going to have to keep Lumia around for that. And that might mean that here in the United States, it might mean in certain parts of Western Europe, it might mean in certain countries in Asia, that you actually don't see Lumia anymore, and that Lumia becomes something for emerging markets wherever, South America, Africa, the Middle East, certain parts of Asia, certain parts of Europe, Russia, and so forth. I'm just guessing because I really have no idea. The other approach, by the way, is that things change and they say, you know what? The market for Windows phones is so small anyway. What's the difference? Let's just go premium and let's just be Surface, you know, just like they're doing on the PC side. Let's just be Surface. And that Surface phone is, and there's probably more than one model, at the very least, like a phone and a phablet, is going to be premium, just like the tablets are.
I mean, in that sense,
forget the other thing.
In that sense, I mean, it really makes sense for, like, Microsoft doesn't, if they have the Lumia line and Lumia, I think the Lumia line should stick around, and I think it should be their secondary line, where you have, you know, the Surface phone and you have the Lumia phones, and that's it. That's all the Windows phones out there.
Well, but. So just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, the only that could happen, right? There's a 50-50 chance. The thing people need to remember is that they don't make money on Lumia. They lose money every time they sell one of those things. So you could make the argument that a Surface phone will be a much smaller market because, you know, expensive products just don't sell as many units. But maybe that premiumness is what puts them over the top from a profitability standpoint. So it's a smaller but profitable device lineup. That may make more sense. I don't have any business acumen. I don't know what the right answer is there. I certainly don't know what Microsoft is thinking. There was evidence. By the way, after we're done today, Microsoft's going to announce their earnings. We're not going to, and we should get Lumia numbers based on some data we saw from Kantar World Panel or whatever. Possibly like the worst quarter in Lumia history.
Yeah.
So that could, you know, lead us down this direction.
Where but it was the worst quarter because they didn't really release much, did they? You know, like they didn't, especially here in the States. I mean, they didn't really have like a flagship device till when, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that could be,
depending on who you talk to, they still don't.
Depending on who you're talking to on Twitter. I'm bringing this up because there was a lot of rumors this week, and I got asked by a bunch of people, like, oh, the Surface phone, you know, there's a Surface phone domain name and points to Surface, their website. That's, well, of course they're going to do that because they want to protect their asset. They want to protect their brand.
They've owned that domain name for 2 years.
Yeah, so someone probably just discovered it.
So people know. It's not.
That's what people do. You know, like, I have domain names that... I just bought it to protect myself or my brand.
To stop someone else from having a Surface phone website that looks real and isn't real. You know?
Yeah. I could just imagine that right now. The Surface website. The Surface phone website. It's like a Parker, you know, like a GeoCity.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's dancing.
Yep.
A bunch of Motorola StarTacs just floating around.
Nice.
I don't know what their answer... I did a podcast yesterday and they were asking me, you know, what do you think, like, I gently gave an answer. They go, well, what does Microsoft have to do to get some sort of market share in this country? You know, like, what do they have to do? I go, well, it's impossible. They won't gain 10% market share in this country. It's an impossible task that they have ahead of them. The only way that's possible is if, I mean... I can't even think of how that would be possible at this point. It's realistically.
It's not possible. Yeah, it's not
possible. And they said, why? Why is that not possible? And I said, it has nothing to do with the quality of phones that they're making. It has nothing to do with the quality of software they're putting on these phones. It has to do with the fact that the market is so saturated with iOS devices and Android devices that it is nearly impossible to penetrate. It's like,
yeah, if Microsoft ever has success in mobile in the future, it's going to be because things have changed in that the things we're buying are so different from the phones that we have today that, you know, there's a new opening there. That the software that works today on iOS or Android is not easily adaptable to these new form factors or whatever the thing is. And thus it makes sense to make another generational change.
Yeah.
It's just never going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And I gave this great analogy. There's a restaurant here in the city called Rao's. Rao's is like this old school mob restaurant. And the only way to get a reservation is if somebody dies. Or if you know someone that could lease you their table because they lease the tables out. That is how you get in.
Sure. So unless it's like getting a parking spot in New York City.
It's like getting a parking spot in New York City. Unless Apple or Android really fumble, which I do not see this happening, or if Microsoft does something so innovative that drives people to switch platforms, they're not going to get 10%. 5% possible, right? That could happen. I don't know how realistic it is.
It's not going to. It doesn't matter. it's not going to happen.
Okay, so here's the question. What does BlackBerry have right now? Do we know?
Oh, boy. Let me see. How do I find this? We do know. Do we know?
We have to know.
Why do I not see? I wrote a story today, and I don't see it. Let me look.
They shipped 5.5 million devices in 2014. I'm just trying to see. Fourth quarter, 0%. I'm just trying to see what the market share is.
Yeah, so it's the most recent data is available from IDC. And if you go to IDC.com.
Oh, here we go. 0.4% of all smartphone sales in 2015.
Yeah,
it's BlackBerry.
Right. Right. So this particular thing is about phone makers, not about platforms. Yeah, that's why I don't have the data. Right. Yeah, it's tiny. I know it's nothing.
It's very small. So what is Windows Phone, like 2.5%?
1.7%.
1.7 is Windows Phone.
It's probably less than that, actually, because that data was from, you know, a few months ago.
Yeah. So it is a very difficult task to get, you know, major market penetration. I mean, listen, unless, you know, never say never. They could go with Intel. Intel could do something so innovative that people just buy Windows phones and use that as their desktop. I mean, that could possibly change it. Who knows?
I don't know why we're... It's not going to happen. So
yeah, the whole thing was, would a Surface phone change anything for them? And I said, no. I mean, the people that buy Windows phones will be really happy. Maybe some more people will buy it and they'll be really happy with it. But beyond that, it's not happening. It's such a sad realization. Yeah. You made a post on Twitter today, and I wanted to talk to you about this.
Did I?
You did, and you were talking about. I think you were hinting at that FCC statement,
The Tom Wheeler thing.
The Tom Wheeler thing.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion of him before we go?
Yeah,
into
I like him a lot.
Do you?
He's net neutrality. This set-top boxing is awesome. Tom Wheeler is great.
Okay. I guess I'll keep my Tom Wheeler bashing.
Oh, what's wrong?
I have no bash. I don't know. Wheeler, wasn't he a pitcher for the Mets?
I don't think it's the same Tom Wheeler.
It's not the same Wheeler? Okay. Maybe they're related.
So.
The FCC chairman put out a Twitter post, and he is introducing a proposal that'll greatly increase the choices that consumers have when it comes to set-top boxes. This is fascinating because this is not the first time that there's been an attempt to kind of open up how the cable industry works. Cable cards were a thing in the mid-2000s, and look what's happened to that at this point. It's...
It's not the solution. It's not the solution. You know, when you make it technically very difficult for anyone to do anything, no one does anything. You know, so there's a handful of enthusiasts who have, you know, maybe a TiVo device, or even like, there are people who have Windows Media Center PCs still using cable card with whatever system, and it works fine for them, I'm sure. But the truth is that's beyond the technical acumen of most people, obviously. So you know this because you've had various cable systems in your house. I've had Fios on and off. I've had Comcast, and you get this piece of junk cable box. It looks like it was made in East Germany in 1977.
Yeah.
And you've got this, infinite pipe coming into your house, and then it bottlenecks through this piece of garbage that, you know, ruins everything. I scream at that thing almost every single day, how slow it is, how fucking terrible, it's awful. And the post you're referring to, or the tweet you're referring to, I mentioned Media Center. And the story that a lot of people misunderstood what I was saying. I don't mean that Windows Media Center running on Media Center PCs would have taken over the world. That's ludicrous. Putting computers into the living room was never a viable solution. But the one thing Microsoft really got right with Media Center was the user interface. It's beautiful. And the permutations of it, which we see on the One Guide on Xbox One today, there are TV systems in Portugal and other countries that people can access over the Xbox 360, where we don't have these kind of regulations that we have in the United States. Beautiful interfaces. Microsoft, when they were making Media Center, went to the cable companies in the United States in particular. They also went worldwide, which is why we see some...
In Europe,
some things still kicking around. But what they wanted to do was make the software for the set-top boxes, just like they make the software for PCs. And it will look like Media Center. We're gonna give this to you. Well, we'll sell it to you, obviously. But I mean, you'll put it in your boxes. You can customize it as you want, but it will be this kind of consistent, beautiful. You know, it was one thing that Microsoft got right, and they all said no because at that time, 15 years ago, Microsoft was the dominant personal technology company on Earth. They were in the midst of multiple antitrust problems, and those companies didn't want Microsoft to do to them what they felt like Microsoft had done to other companies, you know, shut them out of markets and so forth, and kind of be the only company in that market that made all the money.
Yeah.
And that's why they said no. Not because it wasn't awesome, but because they were afraid of Microsoft. And that's sad, because if you think about how the world would have evolved, if you accept the fact that all of the stuff that's happened since would still have happened, the Netflix services and all, you know, the ability to watch movies digitally and listen to music digitally and all that stuff is all still going to happen, right? But instead of like pulling forward the same garbagey set-top boxes that these cable companies continue to foist on us, we would have had this beautiful software experience that would have been awesome for those years.
And the experience could be different depending on what you're using. I mean, it could be catered to your needs. You know, depending on what UI you like. You're absolutely right. We are.
It makes me sad because that would have been wonderful. You know.
By the way, did you get the new Verizon Fios update?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a graphical UI now, Paul.
You mean that front page thing? You can turn that off. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, there's another one now that says like, "Hey, do you want to check your account info? Do you want to
watch TV?
Your IP?
I want to watch TV. That's what I want to do. It makes me nuts how terrible it is.
It really is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, but so, if the cable company was smart, right? Let's say they got their act together. They really could have bundled in the Hulus and the
That's what
the
I mean,
Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it would have been an extensible software system, you know, that like Windows. It would have been Windows, right?
And take
those
a cut.
Apps and things, they could have just had it all. And your guide on TV would be what's on live TV. It would be Netflix. It would be whatever else, you know. It could have all been integrated into one thing. You know, I always talk about this notion of like the one box, you know, and how the Apple TV gets certain things right and the Roku gets certain things right and Amazon gets certain things right, but none of them are all completely right. Like none of them have everything, and certainly none of them have live TV capabilities, DVR capabilities, and all that kind of stuff. Microsoft's not perfect, and the Microsoft of 2000 to 2005 was not perfect. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that Media Center was something special for many reasons, but the biggest one to me was the user interface. It was just done right, and it was so ahead of the times. That interface is still better today for live TV than the one I use right now on Fios. It still is better. It's just not a viable solution today in 2016. Of course, it's discontinued as well. That doesn't help. Now, of course, a lot of people like in the Microsoft sphere see this Tom Wheeler thing. And they're like, you know, we got to petition Microsoft to bring back Media Center. And it's like, guys, no, that's unfortunately that ship sailed, right? So when Apple released the first, you may remember this. Before there was an Apple TV, I'm going to get it. Yes, I almost have it. They had a software application for, I'm so close to it. Front stage. Anyway, they had an Apple TV-like bit of software for the Mac, and it was a front end to all the iTunes garbage. All that. Remember?
Yeah.
Something stage.
Yeah, something. Front row.
And at that time, back in that would have been the mid to late 2000s, I was like, this thing's a Media Center ripoff. It was so obviously a Media Center ripoff. In the years that have, you know, kind of occurred since, things have changed. These services have arisen, Netflix and so forth. We consume entertainment in many different ways. And, you know, to my kids, it's pretty much Netflix and YouTube is what they watch. You know, that's what, you know, to them, that's more important. You know, the world has evolved. And unfortunately, and I kind of made this comparison with like the car, where people want CarPlay from Apple. They want Android Car or whatever they're calling it, Android Auto, whatever it is. They want those interfaces. You know, they want access to those services. And they want the extensibility that those things bring you, you know, to have the apps from other services and so forth.
Yeah.
So Media Center is not going to conquer the world in 2016, folks. That wasn't my point. It was just that we would have been in such a much better place today.
There would have been a Media Center like the Vice. Well, I'll give an example why they don't want you to do this, right? Mm-hmm. You go right now. Let's say they allow you to use your Xbox, which you can, actually. You could use your Xbox right now to view Fios. If you have a Fios...
Sort of. I mean, you're passing it through is what you're doing, but yeah.
What do you mean? No. There is a Fios app.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right, but the Fios app isn't Fios, right? I mean, a Fios app is a subset of Fios.
I think it's like 100 HD channels now, which is pretty much everything. Okay. Yeah. They've really added to it. My friend has a 360 that he has it on, and I was looking. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look that. It looks like IPTV, but it doesn't look bad. So you can do that to an extent, but it's kind of still half-assed, right? It's not like full TV. It's not the guide. It's just whatever that is.
Yeah.
But the reason why the cable company wouldn't want you to do that is, let's say you have an Xbox. Okay, now you're Xbox. You get an Apple TV, you have it on the Apple TV. You have a Roku, now it's on your Roku. You have bypassed the $150 a year rental fee per cable box. Or more. I think it's like $200. Let's $14.99 a month, right? So you're talking about $170-something or $9.99 a month, $120. Imagine, most people don't have one cable box. They got multiple cable. I have four in my house.
Yeah,
I do. So I'm paying like $500 a year for my cable box. Multiply that times 8 years that I've had Fios. It's astronomical what I've paid. I've paid almost $5,000 in 8 years to rent a device. And by the way, those set-top boxes are not yours ever.
I know.
It's not you're paying it off.
Like, it's not like you could use it for anything else, but yes, it's not yours. That's true.
It's not yours. But even if you want, like, you can't even keep it after you cancel your service after 20 years, let's say, you know, or 10 years. You can't even keep it.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, of course, the point of it is you're renting it, and that arguably you should be able to go to them at any time and say, I want a new one. No one ever does that. And of course, they would probably try not to let you do it. But, you know, you're renting it, so you should be able to get the new one, whatever it is, if a new one comes out.
I just think it's the craziest, craziest thing. And you're right. The software's horrible. It's doesn't work right. My cable box now freezes, or I'll be watching a football game, and it'll say this channel's not available at this time. That's a new problem that I have on CBS.
Jeez.
You know, I'm watching the playoffs, and it'll just go gray. It's this gray screen, and it says the channel's not available at this time. Please check back. I know you got to switch the channel, and comes back.
Right.
It's crazy. Right. But do you think a proposal like this is a reality?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, so of course, this is the type of thing that wouldn't have happened in, 15, 10 years ago, whatever. It happens today because these companies are under fire from multiple entertainment sources, right? And they're kind of clinging to their way of doing things. And I think this is a realization that in this world where we do have lots of options that have nothing to do with other cable companies, right? In other words, 15 years ago, the competition to cable was cable. So it made sense that the cable companies would want to retain their ownership of everything related to their cable systems.
Yeah.
The competition today is other stuff. And so these guys are kind of, you know, we had the big snowstorm last week, remember? Or I'm sure you remember. You probably have 3 feet of snow.
We had like 3 feet of snow, yeah.
All right. So I did something I don't normally do, which is knowing the snow was coming and knowing it was kind of unclear how much we were going to get and so forth. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get this information from TV for a change, not from the internet. And so I went to the cable system and I started clicking through the guide because I'm like, you know, I don't know where Weather Channel is in Fios. Like
There is no Weather Channel.
That's what I found out.
Yeah.
Stephanie, my wife, being a more intelligent person than me, seeing that it was taking me minutes to find the Weather Channel, went on the internet, looked up Fios Weather Channel, and discovered that over a year ago, or whenever it was, Fios severed its relationship with Weather Channel over, you know, arguments about how much the service cost or whatever it was. I don't have Weather Channel anymore. And I'm like, what the what is that? And so there's this terrible channel. It's like AccuWeather.
AccuWeather, right?
It's like these like bimbo of the minute, like the women like do a tag team thing where like they literally fist bump and then change who's on stage for the next 60 seconds. Yeah. And it's basically someone reading a website. I've never seen anything like it. It's the most low quality weather presentation I've ever seen. So that was really disappointing to me. But I think that that's the type of thing that this is about. That the FCC in this case is acknowledging that people get entertainment in a lot of ways, a lot of different ways, and that these guys' policies are in fact now anti-competitive because the ways in which we can get information are so varied that they're just locking us into stuff that is limiting our choices. And I really hope it changes. I just don't think it matters anymore. Because
I think at this point, you're right. Does it really matter? Because people aren't going to the cable company and saying like, oh man, I wish you did this. Now they're just canceling.
Yes.
People are realizing they don't need cable. Oh, I mean, one of the few people that I know that has cable.
I wouldn't have cable if I didn't have children.
Yeah.
And like I said, like I just said to you, you know, most of their TV watching is on YouTube and whatever, and that's true. But, you know, my son watches SportsCenter. He watches live sports. We watch live sports. I mean, those are some of the things. But, you know, obviously national sports are an issue. If it's Christmas Day or New Year's Day or Super Bowl would probably be on everywhere. But certain, you know, games, whatever, that's kind of a big deal. But I would cut down on TV. Cable, I should say,
significantly,
if I could.
The only thing that I have watched on cable, I'm trying to think. What have I watched in the last week? Nothing. I watched the debate. That was it.
Right.
I don't even watch on-demand programming. I mean, everything is on Hulu or everything is on Netflix for me. That's about it.
Well, we watch new TV shows. Like The X-Files is out now. We watch that when it's on. Well, we don't watch it live. I mean, we record it. But
yeah.
We watch House Hunter type shows.
But that's
watch,
but Paul, that's on Hulu.
Yeah. Is it on, right. I mean, but, you know, for example, on like a Sunday night, like not right now because these shows are all off air, but at some point, you know, Walking Dead comes back.
Yeah, you want to watch
The Affair is on. Live or close to live. Like we want to watch it that night, you know. So a show on network TV or an, you know, non-pay TV like The Walking Dead where there are commercials, we might start that 15 minutes in. And we watch that, the whole family watches it actually together. And we do that so that we don't have to watch any commercials, you know, and then we can kind of get through it. And by the time it ends, like we've caught up with the commercials, but we've kind of accomplished it. And then we can go watch whatever, you know, Game of Thrones, whatever HBO stuff is on later that, it, you know, commercials don't factor into it.
I just don't think that this is a viable model for them at this point. And
I think the world has changed.
Yeah, and with the boom, I mean, with the boom of 4K content, that's going to happen, and 8K content after that, the cable company cannot adapt quickly enough. They're like the car manufacturer, they're like the car industry. They're going to be behind in technology. The car industry is 10 years behind. The same is going to be true for the cable companies, where they can't move fast enough, and at one point, it's just going to really backfire. I mean, already it's happening. People are canceling their subscription. Time Warner Cable, for the first time in 10 years, showed growth, consumer growth, which is baffling. I'm curious on why they were able to do that. Did you see that story?
No.
First time in 10 years. They had more subscribers, so bad. Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, so let's do this.
Yes.
Why don't we go into one more story? No? Okay. All right. So why don't we wrap it up? We got no time. It's all right. We got no ads today. We can just wrap it up, Paul.
All right.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. People have seen how this is all made behind the scenes.
Yep.
It's a lot of vague comments. All right, guys. Listen, we're going to wrap it up a little early. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe wherever our podcasts are available. Paul, Therot.com, yes, everything Paul Therot. You could go there. And anything coming up really, really quick?
No, although we got to talk about New York sometime.
Okay. You're coming to New York.
Yeah. Next week, end of next week, and then some second week of February or something like that. Yeah.
Paul's coming to New York in a couple of weeks, so maybe we're going to do something special. Maybe we'll do our 300th show before it's episode 300.
Well,
maybe we could do that. Maybe we could pretend it's episode 300. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Take care.